Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of Allah, the merciful one that gives of benefits, he's a benefactor. Ar-Rahim, Allah is the merciful one that gives us redemption. He redeems us. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. I bear witness there is the one God, Allah, and there is none, nothing like unto Allah whatsoever. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. And I bear witness Muhammad is his slave servant, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The prayers and peace of God be upon him. Today is May 9th, 2021. You're listening to Word Made People. That's corresponding to Ramadan 28. And for some, for some it's 28th, for some it's 27th, I believe. Tonight will be for us the 27th night, so the day will be 26th day. And for some 28th day, depending upon when you start this fast in this year, Allah knows best. May Allah accept our efforts. So we're going to play our opening theme song and come back and get started. We have a very important conversation today. And we're looking for your participation where we can help us with Allah's guidance. Our theme song is also titled Words Made People Song by our belated, beloved and belated sister, Khadija. Abdullah, she passed away last year, 18 years old. May Allah forgive her for her sins. She did pass during the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. So this song is titled also Words Made People. And we'll be right back after a couple of minutes of our opening theme song, inshallah. Call a friend. Tune in.
Check out the words that make your world. Make
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Word Faith People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, and I have my co-host from the West Coast doing the most.
Yes.
Imam Ayman. Abdul Majid. Assalamu alaikum. And Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam. Rahmatullahi. Ramadan Mubarak to you and all the radio listening audience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have a wonderful topic. It's a little sensitive, I'll say that from the top. But that's okay. We're going to do our best with this topic here. And the topic is going to be, and we ask for Allah's guidance. The topic is, when will the students of Imam W.B. Muhammad unite and start loving each other more? So we're going to begin, as we do, for those who know our format on Words Make People. We always begin with El Quran because the Quran are the best words for making people. And so we're going to begin right there on that part with reading from the Quran from chapter 103. We are very familiar, I'm sure most of us are familiar with chapter 103 of the Quran. And that's what we're going to focus on for the first part, Brother Imam Ayman, because we think we can have success with this. I said 103, didn't I? Yes. Okay, yes. 103, excuse me. And we learned that we say that the words, the best words for making people are the words of the Quran. And so we want to begin with that. Because God says, sent revelation from the time of our father Adam and all through and to our prophet and brother Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon all the prophets. And these words were for making human beings. Everything else in creation is already made and saved by their instinctive nature. It is only the human being that can rise and sink to the Safalah Safalim, as it says, to the lowest of the low. Because Allah has made us to ascend to be the highest of the high. And that's man and jinn. But don't think of jinn as not being other than people. Don't think of jinn as being some dog in the, or something hidden in the forest or whatever. If that's your understanding, we leave you right there, alhamdulillah. But the jinn is speaking of a quality within human beings. So, again, our main topic is, when will the students of Imam W.B. Muhammad unite and start loving each other more? But we're going to begin with our reading of the Quran. And we begin reading the Quran, seeking Allah's protection. I uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek Allah's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. We say next, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name of God, the merciful, the benefactor. That means He's the merciful one that has given us benefits that we did not even ask for, didn't even know to ask for. And ar-Rahim, the mercy that we do ask for, because we are conscious of our sins. We are conscious of our doing wrong. We need to be redeemed, made anew. So we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Surah 103, very common surah of the Quran. It says, Wal Asr. Inna insana lafi kusr. And so it's saying, verily, in the token of time, man is lost. Man is lost. In other being used for this word is also saying a loser. That in the by the token of time, as time ticks on, man is lost. It says in the Levina, right? Except for those. In the Levina, Amenu. Well, Amenu Salihat. So you will not be lost if you do one thing, and that is believe. And that belief is not just a profession from the lips. It's also put into action by your life, by your hands, Salihat. So this is a very important point that the first thing, Brother Benjamin, is to keep us from being lost as time progresses, is that we keep our faith and put our faith into action. And when we put our faith into action, and then it says, join with others. Join with others based upon two principles. And those two principles, the first one it mentions is the principle of truth, bihaq. And the next principle, join each other with bisabr, or with patience. Patience, perseverance. Not just patient or sitting like a lump on a log, but the patience of a working person, the patience of Job, the patience of pushing and struggling and doing all you can while you wait for the help to come. We don't have a welfare system, Brother Emmanuel, where we just sit down and wait. No, while we are waiting, we are still struggling and using our resources, our knowledge, all that Allah has given us. We are using it to the maximum of our ability until Allah comes and sends more help. And that's the same thing. And when Allah sends more help, he's there. He says, surely the help of Allah is always nearby, always nearby. So, Brother Imam Maimon, I'm looking at this word, what do I saw? And it's very interesting that I find it. And I find it very interesting because it is speaking about joining with others. And to join with others, you have to take the conversation or the situation outside of yourself, outside of, I use myself as a model. I have to take the situation and all of its surrounding circumstances out of myself, out of my ego, out of my emotionality and my sensitivities. I have to step back from the immediate picture, the immediate need. I have to step back and assess it from the point of seeking a conclusion that's bigger than myself and that's going to include others. Do I so? What do I join with others and look at the bigger picture? But Brother Imam, I'd like to get your thoughts or comments on it. Okay, did I lose? Or did he call from a different number? Imam,
I'm right here.
You changed numbers on me. It kind of threw me off.
Yeah,
okay.
I had to change because that other phone was acting wacky. That other phone was acting wacky.
Wacky. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. We don't want no wacky today. So I'd like to get the
No wacky today. We don't need that. Alhamdulillah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Not really. Once again, assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak to you and all the radio listening audience. And we get into the last few days of Ramadan. So you got to just still tighten our belt because it's not over yet. And we're asking for the blessings and the mercy, forgiveness, and to be freed from hell, the hellfire. So alhamdulillah, we're thankful for that. Yes, what the wasad bil haq. This is beautiful because it says that the human being is lost. By the time as it squeezes out time through the ages or asr, or over a great difficult period of time, the human being is lost, completely lost.
Mm-hmm.
Except those who have faith, trust, belief. Faith is very important. Faith is very important. Trust is very important. And our prophet has told us, we're going to discuss it, I'm sure, as we go along, you would not get to paradise even. You won't even get to heaven unless you have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have faith, according to what the prophet said, until you practice loving one another. And we're going to get into this as we go. But faith, وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and good works. Faith and good works go together. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran that the believers are those who are true in word and also actions, deeds. Faith in words as well as actions. So faith and good works go hand in hand. Faith and good works go hand in hand. Okay. Our good works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our good works is a proof of how our faith and how strong our faith is in Allah. We're proving it with our actions. It's a proof for us. Charity is a proof for us, according to what the prophet said. It's a proof for us, those good works. So we have to put forth good works and good actions to go along also with that faith. What the wasal, and also what the wasal, joining together, with truth.
Yes, sir.
We have to keep the reality out there. We can't keep the people in fantasy, can't keep them in fiction, can't keep telling them lies. Mm-hmm. We have to keep the reality before us and before humanity, okay?
Yes,
because
sir.
We want to join together with truth. We don't want to join together with falsehood. We don't want to join together with lies. We want to join together with truth. And also of patience. Patience is very important. Patience, we know, it comes from Allah. And we have to be patient.
Yes, sir.
And when you look at that word patient, a lot of times what it represents is that you might be stuck to a certain situation or in a certain situation. And at the time, you can't do anything about it. It's just, I got to be patient. I was thinking sometimes you get stuck on the freeway. I'm just using that as a small example. All these cars out here, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, Now you could stress out, and you could just worry yourself to death about the activity that's going on that freeway at that time, or you can just sit there and just be patient and wait for things to loosen up, wait for things to open up. And this is how life is. Sometimes you're stuck in a situation or situations, you're stuck in different things, and you can't really move right then. You can't really move on it right then. You can't get out of it. You just have to wait and be patient with Allah, be patient with God, and ask Allah to bless you to have patience with this situation so you can get out of it. So you have to join together with truth, reality, and you have to join together with patience. I think reality and patience are pairs. God says he created everything in pairs. Zaljin Karim, respectable pairs. Zaljin Rahim, beautiful pairs. So these are beautiful pairs and also respectable pairs. Truth and reality and patience, they go hand in hand. like hand and glove. Yes, they go together. Yes, it's the right hand and the left hand working together. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. You know, as you were speaking, the phrase "what to wash," so you're saying,
right,
like, what, you know, will one do for the other will come back and do for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this verse is calling for a unity.
Mm-hmm.
What to wash all the hawk? I mean, I'm going to be truthful to you, and you're going to be truthful back to me. What do I say? We're going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Truth to you, truth to me. And also, what do I say? Be sober. I'm going to be patient with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask that you be patient with me. Because when you look at all these together, okay, the first one was to have faith, right? Aminu, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second was Salihat. Those go together like a pair. But it can't just stop with that person, the individual, being believing and have righteous deeds. That person must now join with others and be truthful and patient with others. And the others have to be truthful and patient with him or her. We say on him, but we also mean her as well. And that is a very important point. If we don't do all those things that are mentioned in this short, beautiful, and powerful surah, then we're going to be kufr. We're going to be lost. We're going to be lost. We have to do all of these ingredients in a reciprocating way. Have to be part of us avoiding being lost. That's individually, as a family, as a community, as a nation, and as mankind. And we see mankind coming down that road. So alhamdulillah. But I'd like to, if you can continue to move forward, because I do want to bring on our beloved sister, Khadija Siddiq Muhammad. I asked for a number of people to call in. I'd like to get her thoughts and anything she wanted to share, because we're going to segue now into our conversation. Our conversation is going to be speaking on when will the students of Imam Muhammad unite and start loving each other. I'm taking full responsibility for that title. You might say, well, why did you choose that title? Because I did. Okay. and not saying that necessarily right or wrong, but it's like, so where did it come from? It came from the head and the heart. And I'm not sure which order was the heart first or the head first from Michael's side here. But I said it, and I stand on it, because we need to have this conversation. And so I ask people to call in. You're going to first, we have a Sister Khadija Siddiq Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak, Sister Khadija.
Wa alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak, Imam Sahir, and Imam Ayman.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, my dear Sister Khadija. How are you?
I'm doing well, alhamdulillah, and I pray that you both are doing well and your families as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am, yes. You know, Sister Khadija, we have a very popular hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Well, he says, you will not enter paradise until you truly believe, and you will not truly believe until you love one another. And I guess if you take that, and we do take it, as for the value of it is, if we don't do these things and we don't enter paradise, the alternative is not very nice. You know, until you truly believe, and truly love one another. But on that or any other topic you want to express your thoughts on unity and love for our community, please.
Yes. First I'll address the thought that you presented, or the hadith that you brought to our discussion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The first thing that comes to my mind is how Imam Muhammad said that if you don't get paradise here, you know, essentially you expect paradise here before you expect it anywhere else. And when we look at what Imam Muhammad has said in the context of what the Prophet has said, you know, we have faith in our salvation to take us away from people who we may find as problematic or however we may see them. But really, when we learn to see people the proper way, we recognize that we were putting ourselves in hell in this life because we don't have faith in the creation that God made. And if we learn to love each other, then we will have paradise and we'll know how to see and work with each other here. And we'll also have it in the next life. And I wrote something, and I would like to read it if that's okay. Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Today is Mother's Day, a day to remember to see people through a mother's eyes. We thank our mother for the love she has given us, but the highest form of appreciation is emulation. To make a vow to enter into community by seeing each and every human being as his or her mother would see them. A mother's first connection with her child is not through knowledge of specific characteristics. She knows her child through his potential to progress in the dark, struggling and striving from weakness to strength all on his own. She knows not the deeds he will do in the larger womb, or even the look of his face developing within hers. What she does know is that only God's spirit could support life developing in darkness. So she names the child for his or her inherent closeness to God. We maintain and protect our community for as long as we can sustain the vision of each other through a mother's eyes. All actions, corrections, support, and justice emanate from love and knowledge that each and every one of us has an inherent urge for excellence and progress. Allah says in the Quran, "It is God who shapes you in the womb of your mother, and we are here to do God's will. His plan is to make sure you reach your excellent destiny. And through a mother's eyes, I am here amongst all of us to do all we can do to see you established in strength and adulthood with the spirit of innocence your mother witnessed at your birth." And that's what I wanted to share.
Alhamdulillah. That's rich and that's good. If I may ask you to go a little further and to, I mean, that I've seen some correlations, but I want to hear from you, correlating that with our overall topic today. And how would you connect those two?
Yes, sir. So the topic is, now I don't have it in front of me. Can you read it again? Here it is, actually.
Okay.
Let's see. You had said that, when will the students of Imam Muhammad unite and start loving each other more?
Yes.
When I thought about the title, I thought about the two main concepts in the title or the topic, and one is unity and one is love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how we don't really understand either of those, but we always say we want those. When we say we want unity, it's when someone's not supporting what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say we want love, we want to be the object of love and not the one who gives it. So I chose to write from the perspective of a community, a mother, ummah, where if we want this community to be united, we have to be united in how we see human beings in our community. We can't have a thousand different ways to see one human creation. We have to one way to see one human creation that manifests itself under different pressures and in different circumstances in many different ways. But we have to have that faith that the prophet talks about, that this is indeed God's creation. And that's how we unite, not by looking from a selfish perspective that the way I see the community, no one is supporting me, or these people are supporting me and those people. We have to stop seeing ourselves in community from a child wanting a mother to love them, but to actually be responsible for the community by seeing it from the eyes of the community, that Allah gives us this context. He knows they're struggling. He knows every single one of us is lost and needing help and guidance. But he gives us time. He gives us time and each other. And we unfortunately use that time to try to prematurely judge ourselves and inflict punishment upon ourselves, or prematurely judge others and ensure that we witness their punishment. But if we would just come to a point of seeing God's creation the way he made it and to support that developing, then we can become united because we see each other in one vision. And I'll say it's difficult times, because you'll see people doing things that are questionable and sketchy. you want to say something. But a thought that I had was how the prophets always identified with their people, no matter how big their sin was. God would say the people of Lut, the people of Jonah, the prophets always identified with that excellent potential in them. So when we see someone struggling with a particular struggle and we're having a difficult time finding the creation that God made, just open up the Quran, locate their struggle, and find what the prophet said, and speak to the prophet inside of them. And keep that in your vision the entire time. In their life, if they're struggling with a particular thing, I'm pretty sure that prophet is inside of them, just giving them, telling them what they need to hear to change. So we should support that voice in them and not see them as a problem.
You know, what you're saying, you're taking back what I think I said a few minutes ago, with the phrase, what do I saw, that if I'm uniting with a bigger group or effort, the community, then a lot of times we have to step back from our feelings or our emotional attachment to it and try and see it from the bigger picture. And that's what I'm hearing you saying right now. Is that if you really want to unite and to come together, but also, and I don't know how much time you have, but I'm going to raise the point, given up on, within the community, the overall community in the Muhammad, we find those who tell, this is my phrasing, so I take the blame for it. But I'll say it, special claims or special titles or special relationships. And sometimes our holding on to these claims and these titles can divide, because it's like it's, Imam Muhammad gave a lot of people a lot of assignments. And I'm sure that you've been witness that yourself, because you were with him for at least 4 years that we know of. Married to him, plus the years in his class, Imam Muhammad on a regular basis gave a lot of assignments to a lot of people. But to hold on to that assignment now as being something that makes us special or different, again, Michael, so you're speaking, I think those things can lead to divisions, or it can cause issues more than what they should. You have any thoughts on that point? When I'm asking about special claims, but titles, relationships. No, you may have told me this, therefore I'm not going to join that effort over there. Do you have any comments on that, please?
I guess the only thing I can say is we can't orchestrate unity. We can only be where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, and know that what we're devoted to is big enough even to support someone as they find their way. And that there's nothing that any of us can do to get in the way of what Allah wants to be established. And I know it's difficult, you know. It's almost like how, you know, the mother would say, I want everybody to be quiet. And if someone's talking, you're like, so-and-so, be quiet. Now, both people are talking now. So-and-so, be quiet. Mama said, be quiet. And although the whole time you might be like, it was very clear. She said, be quiet. And this person is talking. You know, the key to bringing about the world we want is not thinking it into existence, it's modeling it into existence. And what will happen is community will form around its natural formation, which is innocent human life. We know that Imam Muhammad, you know, the media didn't support him, but it didn't matter. His innocence and his devotion to just focusing strictly on the Prophet's model drew people around him and guided us in darkness. So we don't have to worry about the thousand things that we're all trying to see if we can find the right way. Just know what the light is, and we ourselves move towards it, and pray that God will help those who we think may not be on the right path, and whenever we get an opportunity, to help them.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Imam Ayman, anything you wanna say?
No. I just was reflecting on, you know, what she was saying, especially in the beginning when she was saying about how people have to. I think she was saying how they recognize the prophet within themselves, you know, and in chapter 49, verse 7. You know, that's exactly what it's saying in the language when it says, you know, Adlemu, you know, and know, you know, that Fikum, in you is Rasulullah, in you is the messenger of Allah, you know. So I'm happy to hear her say that, because a lot of people don't realize that Muhammad is right there in you, you know. The Prophet's example should be, you know, embedded within your very heart, in yourself. You should always refer to that within yourself, so you can stay on that right path, on that right model that she's talking about. And I like what she said about you just can't. I think she said, what did she say about you don't? What I got from it, you just can't talk it. You've got to model it. You have to be an example of it. And you know, we have to be a model of that example. You know, that unity, you know, I love that, that's what we're talking about.
And if I may, and then I'll go ahead. I want to just, am I talking, I want to make sure I'm not talking over anybody. Okay.
No.
I just wanted to underscore again, the unity and the love is never seen from the ground. You never see it from the ground. Like one Ramadan session, Imam Muhammad shared with us his experience of how terrible people treated him. You know, and he was like, sometimes the biggest sacrifice of a leader is that they take all these little comments and undermining, and they say nothing. They say absolutely nothing. And they keep working for the cause and working for the people, even who are undermining what the leader is trying to establish. So on the ground, it never, ever looks like we're united. And it never feels like we're being loved by everyone. But this is a unity that we don't bring about. This is a unity that God will establish. And we are united because we are standing where God told us to stand. And we're going to remain there, and we're going to do that. But we cannot see that God's plan is more orchestrated in someone else's actions than our own. And if we lose that understanding, then we've stepped outside of my belief, is we've stepped outside of our humanity to begin to use our mind to get unity instead of our heart and our love to get unity.
Yeah. I think about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how he united the what's now known as Saudi Arabia, but Arabia. They had warring tribes. But he called them together on a common theme, and which is, we say today, we say on the human, the first common theme we know is the belief in one God. We know that. But and even there were those who he called together who said, the messenger of God? No, I know Muhammad. He's not the messenger of God. Muhammad is Ibn Abdullah. And the prophet, he even accepted that. You know about Taif and how he was treated in Taif in a very bad way. But he could step back from even that. And he saw and maintained a bigger picture. A bigger picture. So I like what you're saying, Stupid, that the unity is not really, the achievement of the unity is not really within our hands. But if you point to a higher value or a higher purpose, then we have something we all can in common achieve to. It may not be our generation, who knows, that bring it to your conclusion. But if we can still, like maintaining the ritual of Salat, we have to maintain Ruku this way, Sashta that way, else the one comes after us got to learn the ritual and get more light from the ritual than we got, inshallah. So thank you for your comments and the explanation and the way that you shared it, because it's sobering, because it's easy to get frustrated, it's easy to get, say, well, no, this is not working out. I got somebody who wanted to say, I'm the one who wanted to comment before, too. I wanted to get his comment in. And anybody who wants to press 1 on their phone, please do. We bring you into our conversation. Brother Emil Iman, do you want to add a comment you want to say?
Well, I just, once again, I like what you said about, the love, and how Allah has to bring about the unity. Sometimes we think in our minds we can do it. We figuring out a way, rationally, and we're wrestling with it. But if the love is not there, it really won't bring about the unity. And that's a very good point, because I know throughout my experience, in the community, a lot of times people will run away from the community when they don't see the love there, first coming from the leadership and then coming from the people, And like I told you, I knew a sister. That was with our community, an older sister. She went to Hajj. She was on the Craig committee with us. She was really a beautiful sister, man. I mean, really beautiful. And then one day I looked up. She went over there to Farrakhan's camp. She went back to the Nation of Islam, the Farrakhan's Nation of Islam. Mm-hmm. And I said, Halima. Yeah, her name was Halima. I can tell you her name because she's no longer with us. I said, Sister Halima, Assalamu alaikum, how you doing? I says, I understand you with Farrakhan, back in the group. She said, yes. She says, because I left our community because I didn't see enough love. I didn't see enough love. I didn't see enough love, And I was shocked when she told me that, But I thought about it. And I said, wow. I said, so, see, when you show you care, when you show love and concern for the people, then that is a glue, you know, that really wants to keep the people there with you, you know, because they feel loved, they feel accepted, you know. They feel like they even can make a contribution. But you were constantly cutting them off and high, you know, just, you know, dry, high and dry and tough, you know, and talk mean to them. And that runs people away, you know. So I really agree with that. I mean, you know, that hadith speaks to that. You know, you will not get to paradise unless you have faith, and you will not have faith until you practice loving one another. I mean, this is the key. This is truly the key. That's all I have to say. I just got to listen.
Yes. Okay, great. Now, this love, this in Islam, this is not that mushy love. I mean, it's a real serious kind of love. I want to mention something too that came to my mind. This is going back to 1965 when our brother Malcolm X, El-Haj Mulika Shabazz, was killed. And Imam Muhammad was out of the nation at that time, but he came back to the nation during that intense time. And in that documentary, I think it was a PBS documentary, they asked him about that. I think it may have been that one, but I'm not sure which documentary it was. But they asked the question. They said, why did you come back? Because there was something that had eluded. Well, he came back. He was afraid his Malcolm had been assassinated and even that bout. And Imam Muhammad, he explained. He said, I came back to save the baby. And those are his very words. He said, I knew my father needed me at that time. But his key words that registered in my mind, he said, I came back to save the baby. Now, that's all pretty much what he said, but I think my knowing his language, I think this is what I got from what he was saying, and I could be wrong now, that though he was still of the staunch position that Allah is God and Mr. Farah wasn't God, and he was still of the staunch position that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger God, his father was not the messenger as they understood it. And he did not believe black man was God. But at that moment, the thing that was needed to save the baby, a baby is a community that has not grown up yet. And he knew that he was to inherit that baby. I mean, this is the figurative way of using baby. And that he was obligated from his parents and from the pioneers and from their hard sacrifice. He was obligated to do what was necessary at that time to save the baby. And this is a thinking that I have, that for our community at this moment, in this dispensation of time that we are now, we have to make sure that we protect the baby from the other harms. As you know, I'm just explaining a real live example with their one sister. We have to save the baby. I do have some callers lined up. But Sister Khadija, anything? I know your time may be limited, but you're welcome to stay as long as you can. Do you have any comments you want to share before I go to the next caller?
No, you're good. You can go ahead.
Okay, because this first caller is, are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, this caller here from 404. Caller from 404, thank you for calling Voice Made People. Can you give us your name and your city, please? First name in your city.
That's 404.
What's the name?
This is Brother Kareem Shabazz. Ramadan Mubarak to you, Brother Imam, and everybody on, Sister Khadija, and everyone. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you for the invite, Brother Imam. And, excuse me, I think this is a very provocative subject, very provocative question. that you put out into our atmosphere here is one that needs to be discussed and addressed for some time. This is homework for all of us. I think the subject and the premise that you've introduced to us, referencing it from the prophet's spoken words that you're not into paradise unless we have faith, and you will not have faith until you practice loving one, loving each other. when you were speaking that, I actually just wrote down, I have a pen and I was just writing down, paradise, and I wrote down faith, and then I wrote down love, and I was just looking at how the synergy, that each of those have with themselves, paradise, faith, and love. And then I was using that as a mirror, if you will, to look at the question that is, when will the students of Imam W.D. Muhammad unite and start loving each other more? And I was thinking about that. Excuse me. And alhamdulillah, I won't say enchanted. I was glad to hear like the different perspectives of how we look at it. And for myself, I thought about it like, I was like, okay, so if we students of the Imam, I would just say that it's important for us, for all of us as students, to not just consider ourselves students, and this, particularly, many of us who in our community who may, in our inner selves may consider ourselves heavyweights with the language or the direction, the trajectory that our beloved Imam, Rahim Allah Alayh, was trying to direct us to. But it's one thing to be a student of the Imam in just knowledge body. It's another thing to be a student of the Imam in terms of emulating, as Sister Khadija mentioned the word, I think she said emulate. It's one thing to follow a person and you consider yourself a student of the Imam. Yeah, I'm a student of the Imam, brother. I'm a student of the Imam. I would just say that it's one thing to be a student of the Imam in trying to understand and support and follow the language and the direction, the logic that he worked so arduously to bring us into. But I would have to go a step further and say it's equally important, I should say, to be mentored, to be a follower, to follow that teacher, that instructor, in terms of his disposition, his character. Yeah, I see in my perspective, I see a lot. I hear a lot. I see a lot of people who we, and myself included, all of us, we can say we follow, we're students of the Imam, and we are, and I'm not here to judge. Allah is al-Hakam, Allah is the judge. I'm simply saying it's equally important that we be like. And it's one thing, to grasp knowledge and concepts, and that's all important. We need that enlightenment. But the Quran was revealed to the Prophet's heart, and then it began to enlighten his intellect. It was revealed upon his heart, and then it began to enlighten his intellect as a natural consequence of Allah's divine plan. So I think it's very, very important for us. And because this kind of leads into something, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to take up a lot of time, but, I recently wrote a book with the help of Allah, and it's called From Arafat to America. And to be honest with you, so the title is From Arafat to America. And in all honesty, one of the things that, with the help of Allah, that inspired me to write that book was the very thing that we're talking about right now, was the need. I didn't articulate it that way, but it's actually coming from the same disposition of this, sense of, how do we bring about a sense of more unity or a love amongst ourselves. And I just saw like a parallel in some of the things that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he was on Arafat, that he said in his khutbatul wada, in those last words that he was trying to impart to the believers and to the world at large, but particularly to the Muslims that were there, that numbered in the thousands, because he had already lived, Allah says in the Quran, he has already lived a lifetime amongst them. His example was before them as Elamim, even before the revelation came. His example was there. And so, but he, that is Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he knew that his time was coming very soon, and very very few people knew that in a few months after he gave that Qutbat al-Wada, that Allah would take him from this life. But he imparted those words because he knew how important it was for people to not just follow the flesh body, and that when the flesh body, when the physical leader leaves, then you start acting crazy again. See, remember Jahiliyyah, which is that time, that period, that psychic, that time, that was not just a physical age in history, but it was a mindset. And quite, you know, truth be told, that mindset is still among many of us. But it's just in a different form.
Let me ask you.
And see,
right.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to ask you make the connection, because you're making some good points, and I have some calls on hold, too. But she make the connection, please, because she's making some good points.
So when will the students of Imam W.D. Muhammad, myself being a student, you a student, the sister student, and whoever else is listening, I'm pretty sure they're students too, when will we start loving each other? We got to remove the shaitan that our prophet talked about when he said on Mount Arafat, he said, all those who listen to me pass on my words to others and those to others again. And he said, and it may be that the last ones hearing my words may understand them better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. So to love, we have to have faith, but we have to, we see, sometimes the disunity is because we envy sometimes. And Allah says in the 42nd chapter of the Quran, the 14th ayah, Allah says, and they became divided only after knowledge reached them. So this is what I'm saying. So it's one thing to follow the imam or be a student in terms of knowledge, but you have to be a student of the imams in terms of his uswa. You had to be a student of the imam in his character. And until we do that, we just talk. It's just lip profession. It's just talk. But we'll envy.
Yeah.
So some of these things that's dividing us, that keeps us separated, is internal, but it's also external. We have this envy. You know, we don't want to see another brother or another sister shine. You know, all of that is the. If I'm speaking about the elephant in the room, I'll do that. You know, it is what it is. But we have to speak to that. Allah tells us He will not bless the believer until He separates that which is good from that which is bad. So we have to address that. Paradise is in the faith, is in the love. It's the synergy has to be there. We can't love somebody else if we don't love ourselves. And you can't love yourself if you don't want to see another brother or another sister shine.
Yes, sir. You know, I mean, like my mom said before, and I wrote it down, she was saying, yes, he said the Muslim, he is the keeper, protector of his brother, and he must love for his brother what he loved for himself. And Prophet said, peace be upon the Prophet, no true believer can rest well at night knowing his neighbor is going to bed hungry. So we do thank you for your wonderful comments. Tell us again the name of your book and how can we get that book?
Yes, sir. So the name of that most recent book is called From Arafat to America. And the subtitle is Critical Insights from the Last Sermon of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's primarily right now, it's paperback, and it is on Amazon. I'm working right now, I'm trying to get it as a Kindle ebook, because I've had a lot of people, they prefer to have the Kindle or the ebook. So inshallah, I should be up there in the next week or so as a Kindle. But right now it's a paperback, and it is on Amazon, as well as the previous book, Jesus and Muhammad. I believe it's like $13 on Amazon.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. So from Arafat to America.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillah. Critical insights into the last sermon?
Yes, sir. The last sermon of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Okay. All right, my brother. Thank you. And I know your first book was outstanding. So,
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu
Akbar.
Thank you.
The Imam told us the Imam told us to write.
Yes, he did. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kareem Zabar from Atlanta, Georgia.
Allahu Akbar.
Assalamualaikum. We'll go to our next caller from. Oh, sorry, Sister Khadija, you were holding a thought. You want to mention your thought now?
No, sir. I'm good. I'm listening.
Okay, great. We go to our next caller. This is from 773. That's the Chicago number, right? 773. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, Bashir Assad, from Chicago, Illinois. Thank you, Brother Imam, for inviting me on, and Brother Imam and Sister Khadija. I'd like to address this topic in the area of family, in the unity of the students of Imam Waqi Muhammad. And you know, the Imam, when he came into office, one of the first things he stressed was leadership. And when we're talking about love, if we look at the family relationship, and the Imam told us there's both male and female in both entities.
Mm-hmm.
But a love in a family, it develops, and there's leadership in the family. There's both female leadership and male leadership, and both of them have to be respected. Like the Imam told us that in the home, the female is the Imam, and we should allow the female to do her work or her leadership in this community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to look, I want to take it this way. And looking at our community, we have to have that kind of family love among ourselves. And we have to, when we talk about quite often when a male and a female, when they start a relationship, especially in this society, it's not a mature relationship as the Quran guides us to. And we have a term called puppy love. So it's not a mature love.
No.
But in a marriage, and I'll just reflect upon my marriage. My wife, I was attracted to her for her beauty. She may have been attracted to me for my handsomeness. But over the years, we had 11 children. Neither the physical attractions, you know, they go away. They don't stay there. But you go through trial. And my late wife, I came to love her because she stuck with me. We came into the Nation of Islam, and there was a lot of trial, tribulation there over the years. And that same love came to develop, too, in the Nation of Islam. And the Imam quite often pointed out that we had lost that love. But I think the thing that we want to look at when we're talking about this issue is the maturity of the love that we must have. And also
like
the reality of the life that we're living in. I think quite often we talk in abstracts, but Allah put us here in a real material world. We have an important duty and an important gift that Allah has given us. So if we look at the dynamics of a family, and we're called a community, a family is a community, it's a unit, it has leadership, And you have to look at that. I think we have to look at that situation, the family dynamic. There's a way to look at our situation, our problem, if we have problems. And within that dynamic, to try to resolve those issues that we have. Even in divorce, when in divorce and a marriage, when two separate, because they separate because they're not may have different views, but it tells us to separate on good terms. So even in this dynamic that we have, and the situations that we're living under, this unity that we talk about with community, those dynamics are currently working. And I think the thing I would stress is the maturity and sophistication. Your ma'am talked about our sophistication. So we live in a real world. We have a real community. We have issues that we need to address. Organization, and that's part of family. In this community, we have to become better organized, more sophisticated.
Right.
I recently came across reading Imam Wardi Muhammad, which I do religiously, and he made this comment, although it was back in 76. He said, although we have left the nation of Islam, we're still a nation. He said, we're a nation in a nation. And if I would give an example of that too, of another religious body, if we look at the Mormons, they're in the United States. They have a whole state of Utah. And they have a life that they live. And they have an organizational structure. I think we have to live in reality. We are in a real life. And if we're going to do this mission, and if we look back at the example of Prophet Muhammad, when he went from Mecca to Medina and established a community, these are examples to us, for us to deal with the issues that we have to deal with today. So
let me at this point, and I'm gonna get your feedback, and brother, I am a sister Khadija. And call us as well. They can call in. You mentioned about models, and in 1996, 1997, Imam Muhammad made an intentional effort to connect us with a model, and that connection is still active to today with the folklore community. I had the blessing to get him an interview. It was in November of 97. He had passed through Indianapolis. And so I was with him for a moment, for a few hours. And so I asked him a series of questions. The one question I asked him was this. I said, what can we in the Muslim American society learn from the Bukhari movement? And his reply was this. Somebody got some background noise, please. Imam Muhammad's comment was this. He said, I hope what we see in the folklore people is the true picture of Christian love for their fellow man. I think they demonstrate that very sincerely. They demonstrate it in a way that serves to propagate or to spread the commandment of Christ's love according to the gospel that they follow. His commandment was, he said, quote, I offer you only one commandment, and that is that you love one another as I have loved you. They call it Christ's love. That is what I'm attracted to. That is what has attracted me. That is what I would say the call for my interest in them and my closeness with them. They, of course, the Fukulari, They, in my opinion, demonstrate the commandment of Jesus Christ to his following. According to the gospel of Christ Jesus that they follow, that you love one another as he loved them, that Christians love one another as Christ Jesus loved them. I would add that these people, the Focolare, are not just having emotional attachments to Christ Jesus, peace be upon him. They are interested in community life like we are. I appreciate any sincere religious group who are trying to better the community life of human beings. They are trying to set up community models, and I think they are doing a good job of establishing small community models. They call them Cities of Mary or Mariopolis. I think we should take note of that, too. We see in them their efforts to make peaceful human environments for people to live in. That is the same ambitions that we have, to have communities with homes, reasonable coffee homes, clean environment, safe environment, room for opportunity for education, and opportunity also for business, so people will have employment. We share with them these two values, basic spiritual value and community value. I think we should recognize that they have a very similar perception of that. And that was the end of his comment on the Focolare. And I remember on another occasion, he told us the same thing. He asked, what is it you want us to see in the Focolare? Because we have been to Rome by now and been to some of their events and places. And the most common answer that I recall him saying, he said, because they practice Christ's love. So, Brother Assad, Imam Ayman, Sister Khadija, and any comments on what I just read?
Yeah, well, I'd like to make a comment. And what Imam Wardi Muhammad stressed to us on community, he wanted to see us develop an Islamic community. He said he wanted us to be together, an area, a land, a community, where we control all of those particular activities of the community so that the world could see that model that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had developed in Medina. So we have the model, and he wanted us to reproduce that model here in the United States of America among a people who had been put down, despised, and said were unintelligent. So, my comment on what you had just addressed to us is that we should have that model, that Islamic model that Prophet Muhammad had, that he wanted us was urging us to set up. He said, we can set that model up. It will be a model for other people.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I appreciate that. But in this model here, he's pointing us to a Christian model. Anybody else I'd like to comment, please? Okay. I guess silence is
I'll say, answer. Yeah, I'll make a brief comment.
Yes.
Just looking at how you know Muhammad saw the beauty in the Focolare, I think that should turn us to each other and give us the ability to see in each other beauty. For him to be able to be so comfortable in his identity as a Muslim and leading a Muslim community, to bring into our focus another leader of another faith and to say, look at what they're doing. They are doing a really beautiful job. I would like to see this in you. We should do that for each other. We should be able to look at people specifically, name them, and say, I see this person. I see this beauty in them. I would like to see that in us. I would like to see us emulate that. So if he can do that, then we should go beyond the theoretical and recognize how he was able to do that. Can we do that in all the spaces that we lead, in our home, at our work? Do we have the courage and the identity, stability to say to someone who could realistically, in the eyes of people who support you, they could walk away from you and join that movement? There's nothing holding us here in this community other than our understanding that this is where we want to be, but that we truly want the best for people. Not that they stay where we want them to be, but when we see good, we say, look at this person, and to name them for what is best. But we often have lots of names for things that are not very good and very specific ways to refer to people. So I really just want to underscore that this love that we're looking for, you know, when we think about it, we always imagine love with someone who loves us back. But I think the biggest impediment to establishing love in the community is to think about the situation honestly in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. Think about the situation that just makes it difficult for you to just be calm, let alone love. And think through how you're still going to practice what the prophet asked us to do, to have faith in the model that God has made in the human being, that it is still there and it is worthy to fight for in that person, and how you are going to love this person and work with them as a member in the community. I feel like that will go a long way when we begin to say, every time we say love, don't think about somebody it's easy to work with. Think about the hardest person that you can think of in the community to work with, and imagine every time you say love, see that person.
Yes. I heard your mama say one time, he said, I would love you. How do you say it? He said, even if I can't love you as you are, I still would love you for who Allah intended for you to be. And that came to my mind, Sister Khadija, she was speaking. You remember, we didn't say the first. I'm calling 648. I'm going to get to you very shortly. Call it. Hold on, 648. Yes. You remember, in the comments so far. Before we go to call.
No, and everything has been changed profound. I like the brother talking about the family.
Bashir. Yes, yeah, that's beautiful.
Brother Bashir. Yeah, the family. The family.
Yeah.
We are a family, you know. We are one big family, extended family, and that's the example we have to set, you know, with each other, that we're one family. Because really, you're supposed to love the family members, and we know family members, they hate each other, you know, they hate each other. You know, family members, you know, they don't want to be with each other, you know. You got some family members haven't spoken 30 years, 30, 20 years.
That's
they haven't even spoke. You know, so we can't fall into that. You know, we have
but
to.
But you know what, but even on that, I've seen family members, they'll fall out and be mad at one another, but you let something serious happen to their family member or someone pass away or they become sick. You know, they find ways to get past their themselves, and I'm going back to what I said before. This love or this practice of love, it requires us a lot of time removing our personal feelings and our personal likes and dislikes out of the way and step back and look at the picture from a panoramic view and not from a microsahir view, because I could be quite myopic just seeing it through microsahir's thinking and feeling and vision. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad did, what Imam Muhammad did when he came back in 65. There's a bigger picture here. And the more we can begin to push that. But go ahead. I didn't mean to kick you off, but I wanted to say that before I forgot it.
No. Well, that's beautiful, man. And that example you gave of Imam Muhammad is beautiful, because that was love. That was a lot of love. You know, that was motivated by love. For him to come back and say, well, if he's trying to save the baby, he's trying to save the future of our community, you know.
That's right.
Because, you know, he didn't have to do that. He made a choice to do that, and Allah permitted him to do it. But he had a choice, know. He didn't have to do it. I mean, but he did it because he saw the bigger picture, and I'm thankful to Allah a billion times over that he made that decision to come back and save us, you know, because he saw the bigger picture. And that was, like I say, that was my love.
Ma'am, once I hear,
yes, sir,
I'd like to make one last comment. You know, when we speak of love, too, something that's been on my mind lately is reality. Allah put us in this world, this real world that we live in. When I think about Imam Wardi Muhammad, I think about the verse, basic and fundamental. And if we read his commentary, his tafsirs, he was able to take the Quran and then relate it to us in basic, fundamental issues that we deal here in our life. And when we're talking about love, we shouldn't be talking so much of the abstract, but deal with the reality. And we have a love of community. I think love has a value. We have to put a value on it. And this community that we have and what Allah has given us, we have to value it. If you put love on a value, so the issue that we have, we have to address them in a very mature and realistic way. We live in a real world. We got real issues. We have a real community. There's been nations that have fought over unity. This country fought over unity. So we have to become very sophisticated, as the Imam says. We need to be more sophisticated in looking at these issues.
That's right.
In a realistic
way. Yes, sir. Thank you. Very well said. Because we've been taught to fall in love. Fall? Think about that. Fall? You want to fall? Nobody want to fall. Each time I fell, I was hurt and embarrassed. So like you said, you have to be in maturity, a sophistication with a eye on the vision, the destiny, with our fingers on the pulse of the community, and be willing to make as needed the sacrifices to make our community successful. So we're gonna continue moving further. But I'm gonna get my very patient caller, 618, and get them into our conversation. Brother Asaf, so you know, basically, I'm gonna leave your line open in case you wanna come along the way. Cause you've been around for a long time. We can't let that wisdom be put on hold. So I'm gonna leave your phone line open. So caller 618. Thank you
for your
patience. Can you give us your first name and city, please? 618.
Astia, East St. Louis. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam. Yes, sir.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.
Ramadan Mubarak.
So much enjoying what you are sharing, the subject, and everything that has been addressed here is supporters of the our subject, Brother Imam, Brother Imam Ayman, Sister Adija, their brother in Chicago, and others that have called in. One of the things that came to my mind is our brother Red repeated some parts of the ayat in the Quran regarding the challenge that comes when knowledge comes, the differing comes mm-hmm. when knowledge comes. And one of the callers mentioned, and maybe yourself also, but Imam, the unity that was in the Nation of Islam, I reflect upon the environment of my mother-in-law and her family coming through into the community in the late 50s, and believers that I knew here in this area that came in the 50s after coming out of the South. And I got to meet believers mm-hmm. in the late 70s as I came in the community. And I hear this reflection of what existed before. And also, I've been able to witness, being here many years since the late 70s in the community, that mm-hmm. oftentimes we don't realize how fortunate we are, because of when we look back, we're looking at things from the perspective of what environment we were nurtured in. I say it like this. We had mm-hmm. people coming from the South that couldn't read, that seeing things that we're seeing on television now, we saw that being done without police uniforms, not me, but our family members did, people coming from the South. And we knew we had very humble beginnings, actually some sweeping dirt floors and not having bathrooms mm-hmm. in their home as my parents did. So when we start to come together with a loving environment and questioning what was in the faith community, those persons were coming from a humble place that wasn't based on mm-hmm. what they knew. And mm-hmm. to come into knowledge, and their children to come into knowledge, and the environment of coming into knowledge, I think we have, like the persons that are calling in and you have reached out to, Brother Imam Sahir, we're demonstrating that. And I hear Sister Khadija confirming for us that we are doing that. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, of course, leadership get impacted by the environment that we're in when we have others that are influenced from whatever their life circumstances are. They come toward leadership and they share and they question. And those environments have an impact upon leadership or upon persons that take voice in the community. You don't have to be the imam to take voice in the community because you want to share, mm-hmm. but you've been influenced by those in that community. I'm hoping you follow what I'm saying. That so now we have to respond, and we have to try to contextualize something that is coming from the community as a concern, and it might not feel good to people in the community. And I have my son shared once that he came in the community, the two youngest, and second to the youngest, we have five boys and one girl, expressed that the youngest was disturbed by the spirit in the environment. And what it was misinformation was shared with the general body. And I'm only saying this to give an example of what might happen and what is the responsibility of leadership. We have to bring clarity when something has been put in the environment of hearing people. And if that information, to balance that, to try to put a different perspective on it, not to allow falsehood to be in the environment so that hawks can be in the environment for more for consideration. And the one that introduced, and I'm not thinking about no one person, I'm thinking about in general, wherever it might be. I think, Imam Sahir, you represent the type, and the ones calling in represent the type that can take up that mantle as the imam did, as he saved the baby. You all know that goes with the term, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I just wanted to put that in there, right? Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
But I know it sounds philosophical what I'm saying, but sometimes we might be more rigid when we're perceiving what we're reading, and it's actually in our face. Like Sister Khadijah showed, the mother's hope for the child, and that dark state and that Muslim state, not being influenced yet by the world, that state is the state that we nurture, because that is that Muslim state before we come into the orientations that have us question one another. And we do have to go into those waters where persons haven't been questioned before, but we have to have a sensibility. So rather than looking at any of the other notes that I made from your good comments, I'm going to conclude with that.
Okay. Well, okay, I'd like to hear from other people on here, and I'm going to bring our brother back on, too. Our brother, if he's still with us, he's still on, Brother Kareem Shabazz, because he has the intellect as well. Brother Imam Askin, you shared a lot. I'm going to pick up the point about the baby, but also you mentioned about it's kind of similar to what Imam Bashir, I see Imam Bashir, Brother Bashir Assad said. He's an imam in his own right. That a type of maturity of love can unite us. That's what I'm hearing from you. I'm going to put it in just a nutshell. But I'd like to hear from Imam Ayman, Sister Khadijah, and others on where we are now in this conversation. But we have to try to offer some solutions, some remedies as well, right? So anybody have any comment on what we just shared?
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I wanted to go back to...
I'm sorry. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll just quick go back to something that when you were reading from when our beloved Imam Rahim Allah Alayh was speaking, and he was speaking to the folklore, that community, but he was premising his thoughts, if you remember when you were reading it, from the teachings of Prophet Christ, peace be upon him. And I wanted to just go back to that, because in that same context, and because I'm, you know, my previous book, Jesus and Muhammad, Two Rays of the Same Light, Allah bless me to write that book. A lot of the things that I was referencing in that book came from that same context, and it's in one of the chapters in the New Testament, it's Matthew. But in that same context that Imam Muhammad was speaking from about love, what came before that as the premise was, and I will unquote it, when the Prophet Jesus, peace be on him, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So if you think about it, the neighbor in this context is us loving each other. But if you think about it, the love that we're going to have for each other is premised upon the quality of the love that we have for Allah first. See, you can't love somebody else, and I'm not talking about the mushy love. I'm just talking about the same, just the realistic love that we're all talking about. You can't have that love for another brother or sister in your community if you first don't have it for Allah. See, the love that you have for your brother or your sister is premised upon, it's based upon the love that you have for God. If you don't love God, you can't love me. You can give me the greeting. I'm just going to be 100. You can say assalamu alaikum, but you can't love me. You can't support me. If you're going to love for your brother what you want for yourself, the only way you're going to have that, you got to love Allah first. Then you loving me in the real sense, not the mushy love, it comes as a natural outgrowth of your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, sir.
That's how
come. If I may add,
you know what I'm saying?
If I may add very quickly, for us as Muslims, we have to love Allah first. And Allah alone first.
Right.
But we also have to love Prophet Muhammad more than we love our own family.
Yeah. But I was going to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to say that too.
Sorry.
But even with that, we have to understand that. And I'm not saying that you're not suggesting that. We have to understand, how do I love my mom? Because see, for another brother, from another person, they may think to love the prophet is to dress like an Arab or to take on Arab culture. But no, and that's one of the things also that I speak about in that last book, From Arafat to America, because it was on Hajj. See, the prophet could have gave that address anytime. He gave it on Hajj, and you know on Hajj, everybody wears the ihram. Everybody wears the same thing. So the love that we're talking about, it was the supersede culture. It was the supersede race. It was the supersede all these other short, abstract things that divide us sometimes is based on that which is internal. So we got to love Allah first, and then be like the Prophet. We could talk today. I'm not talking about me and you or us right now, but right. I just see too much of that. I see so much of the talking about it, but we have to do it. So we have to be the change. So like the brother that was before me, he said he sees it in us. So we have to be the change that we want to see. And until others join in with that, we have to be the patience. You read from Asa. We have to be patient.
Yes, sir.
But we have to be that change.
Right. Yeah, thank you. And I have caller 213. Hold on, caller 213, 925. I'll make sure that we – you might have any comments now, or if not, I'll go to my next caller.
Yeah, let me say this. I think it boils down to this. How can you say you love God? Ayman. This is Ayman.
Yes. Thank you.
This is Ayman. Yes. Somebody can. Yes, yes, Ayman. Yes. It boils down to this. How can you say you love God when you don't love his creation?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say.
Brother, that's all
very powerful. You better
I'd like to bring us back to that reality of love. And I think, too, again, we have to not talk about abstract love, but the real love, and that love back to a family. When you have a family, you have a wife, and you say you love her, and you don't go out, that man doesn't go out and work and do all the things that needs to be done to keep that family unit. You know, to correct the child, to protect and feed them, then you don't have a real love. You have an abstract
love.
That's right. And it don't work.
That's right.
It ain't real.
Right. Yes, sir. Sister Khadija, anything you, Sister Khadija, anything you want to share at this time?
No, sir, not right now.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Caller 213. This is my brother from L.A.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. This is Amin Muhammad calling from Los Angeles. Alhamdulillah. And Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. We, you know, to have love. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan Mubarak. To have love, we have to have justice. And I'm going to go way out on something, but it's of my heart and it's real. You know, the Muhammad family has really done a lot for me. We have, as a community, we have about 90 years of leadership, strong leadership, going back to Farah, way back in 1930, 31, 34. And we have a long history of leadership, going to work with the Imam, and a lot of us were reborn in 1975 when the Imam brought the Holy Quran and start teaching and everything. And one of the things that he did was he married Sister Khadija. Imam Muhammad married Sister Khadija. And even though I love alhamdulillah the Muhammad family, I don't really think that Sister Khadija, I'm not just saying it because you're here, because I've said it to like my friends, has got the respect and the consideration for being Imam Muhammad's wife. That was his wife. And we say we love Imam Muhammad, but
we didn't really look out for his wife. And I'm not going to take sides or anything, but I just, I'm going to end it because I'm not going on. I'm not interested in a whole lot of talking. I just hope and pray that we could reconcile the Muhammad family with Sister Khadija, put her in the right perspective, in the right position, do justice by her. You know what I mean? Because that was Imam Muhammad's wife. And we say we love Imam Muhammad. We say we love Imam Muhammad, but we don't look for his, we don't look out to protect his wife. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yes,
assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Yes, you may have a comment on that.
Yes, sir. First, I want to give Brother Amin a greeting. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. And I have a lot of thoughts on what you just said. I'll just say this and that, and I'll share in time. Maybe people will understand. I remember after Imam Muhammad passed away, and how everyone who knew him, and you know, they always called. I mean, I had a phone, but it was for him, so they called my phone. And you know, Buddy Ma'am, you know this, and Buddy Ma'am that. And after he passed away, and we just needed a witness to say that our Imam was not sleeping around, you know, and that the woman he was with was his wife. But we were so scholarly that that was difficult. That was very difficult. And I actually didn't know the community in the sense that beyond an abstract, you know, that was my introduction into the community, to be rejected, essentially, to feel like a wrong to be committed and people could be scholarly about the wrong and have reasons for not to address it. But when I perceived it was just against me, I didn't push it. I just was quiet. I'm a quiet person. But then when I was thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. When people, no one knows me. You know, people still don't know me. I'm nobody interesting. And I almost felt like my story was almost like the she-camel, where, I mean, I'm not really anything amazing, you know. I'm not trying to do anything big. It was just people were told to just respect the people who are quiet, respect the people who are soft-spoken, respect the people who are not trying to establish themselves in big ways and compete. Just respect them and let them have rights, too, in the community. And that we failed on. We failed on that. We failed on that. Because we had to look to the left and right and to determine what would this mean for my position if I were to stand up, and this may not be popular. Am I even comfortable with Imam Muhammad marrying this young woman? Can I even speak on that if I'm asked about that? So we failed in that. And what I even struggled with as I was trying to tell people, you know, what got me speaking and traveling. And, you know, I've spoken a lot of places and been invited to a lot of places, but for 10 years, I said the exact same thing everywhere I went. We have to protect Imam Muhammad's legacy. We are very excited about his language and all that it has opened up for us as possibilities for thinkers and establishing ourselves materially, being known for works that come to our name. But honestly, no one's going to. I don't want to be disrespectful or look down on anything anyone's done, but no one's going to remember anything that was done within the time of the Prophet's life. I don't care what it was. It's been overshadowed by the Prophet. So the only thing that people are going to want to know was, what did you do when? What did you do when the prophet asked the people to do this? It doesn't matter the big things you prepared. And I just tried for 10 years to get people to see that our role is to guard his character. It's like we were told to guard the steel. And we have this opportunity with this language to promote ourselves in big ways and establish ourselves, that we have to hold firm. We were told to hold this heel, because no one else in all the generations that come later are going to be able to testify to his character. No one else. But that was not interesting. That was not interesting. It's still not interesting. And I remember I was in, it was 10 years after he passed away, and I was just tired. I was like, the ayah from the Quran, when Allah says, when the messenger becomes tired of what you're telling the people, it's like, just leave the city. Leave the city. And I see us concerned about things that are cropping up in our community, but I have to say that this would be the smallest of our concerns, because if we got what we deserve, which I pray we do not, I don't know what prayer would remove it from us. Because if he is the man that we say he is, then we should be prepared to do whatever it takes, sacrifice our livelihoods, our reputations, our whatever it may be, to support who he is, not who his language is established in my life or what I can do with it or what my plans are, but who he is. And I think that is the only thing that is going to unite us, because if we can't love him, then no one else is going to trust any of the love we claim to give, because he is the best of us.
Right. I gave him a clarify. When you say he, you're referring to
Imam Muhammad.
Thank you. Okay.
I want to say that I said at that time, and I say now, people would say, oh, Sister Khadija, what did they do to you? And I'm scratching my head and say, I'm fine. But I'm worried about us. And I'm worried about us still. It's getting better. But the only way we can unite, the only way we can unite is what united us in the first place. And protecting that, being willing to sacrifice for that. And if we don't do that, one thing after another will overcome us. And we're going to have to watch, as other communities watched in the history of Islam, other people establish this community. We will watch another community establish God's model community with the language of Imam Muhammad, because they will have the courage to fight for what they say they love.
Yeah, let me say, if I may, this point, a note I had not gotten to, which we are somewhat on now, is that what universally unites us? I'm talking about across the board, right? This is a universal connection. First is the Quran. The second is the Uswa, meaning the excellent model of Muhammad the Prophet. Thirdly, the uniting factor for us is the legacy or mission and the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And so what I'm hearing now is just points to the future. I think it's a very good point. If we lose that, any of those that I just mentioned, then there may be a group over here with the same name and the same claim versus, and maybe even mad at, a group over there with the same name and the same claim as they have. There never would be any real unity, any real love, unless you keep those key essentials in place as a model for us within our own group. We would never have unity. And I'm hearing you say that, that's what I'm hearing from you. We would never have unity. Therefore, the love needed.
Yes.
Please, go ahead.
And you know what someone loves for, love, when you watch them come and struggle for it, like they show, like the mother bear, you know, or the lady, she's all calm and everything, but when you touch her, and she comes into a whole nother space, and you say, whoa, she loves that. So what I'm saying is that we have to protect that character by training ourselves to respond to that character. We have been blessed to see the prophet's character right here in our midst, and we dull the vision and cross our eyes and rationalize things. If we can't see that, then we can't see anything. And just to bring it down to earth, everything we claim we want to start, we have cut ourselves off. We didn't do what we were supposed to do by the CPC investors, and then we turn around another day to say, hey, everybody, invest in my work. What? It doesn't make any sense. We didn't stand up for Imam Muhammad's works and what he has published, and yet at the same time we turn around, and in his language, we publish our works and promote our works. We want to make sure our character is all spotless. No, brother, I didn't say this. I said that. But we don't stand up for his character that even gave us the space to stand up. So very real ways, we have undercut our own progress because we have shown what we do to the best of us. And we know that we are not the best of us, so we're afraid to do anything in this community. Because if this is what is happening to Imam Muhammad, then what are they going to do to me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, thank you very much. You may have any comments. I have a couple of callers on hold. And Brother Kareem, just so you know, I put your phone on pause because you had a background noise like an air sound. So I put you on pause for a while. We do have a couple and one call that I need to get to. But since it's a brother, I mean, brought that up, I'm going to come back to him before I put him on hold. But I mean, you brought the comment up, because I had said, I meant to say it before, I didn't want to mention any particular group or person, but since you did, and alhamdulillah, like you did, and you did it very well, we're here now. Yeah. But I mean, anything you want to say before I go to my next caller? Mm-hmm.
No, sir. I'm not long-winded, and I'm not a narcissist. Or I said it. It's out. There's a whole lot of people probably heard it, and we need to see if we can find some type of reconciliation, because we are family. We are a family, and we need to do what families do, come together. Assalamu alaikum.
That's right. Alaikum assalam. Thank you very much. Okay, I have a call in here.
Mikhail.
Yeah.
Can I just make one brief comment? With Sister Khadija, and we got it in the Quran,
yes,
to those widows, we're supposed to look after them. And so in that situation, and we have a situation like that, so we just follow our religious dictates, we'll be gathered around.
Right. But I like how Sister Khadija, she made a very important point, and I think we need to not let it get by us, because as Brother Amin pointed out, there were many, many people who were hurt after the Imam passed, after Sister Khadija. But she said on the line, she can correct me if I misstated, but I think she said she kind of, I'm paraphrasing it, she kind of removed her person herself, though she was hurt, she still had the ability to say there's a bigger picture here than myself, Khadija, and that is the character, the image, the Imam Muhammad. Am I right, Sister Khadija, in saying that what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, that I recognize that, you know, my tendency would be to just, you know, not make a wave and just move on. But when I realize that when someone disrespects, mind you, they don't know me. Like I said, nobody knows me. So that was a symbol of what was thought of Imam Muhammad. And that, as being as meek and as unsteady with voice as I am, I let that experience grow me. and let that become my mission here in the community.
Yes, yes. Because I also don't think about our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. When he returned to Mecca, one of the first things he did, very early on, he said, "I forgive this person, I forgive that person." And these are ones that killed his uncle, Hamza, and others. And, you know, looking at our models and at our examples and loving more, not intentionally put the word more in there, because we do have examples of love and unity in our community. But looking, going back to what I'm saying, looking at our models and our examples, in this case, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he returned to Mecca with 10,000 strong, he could have took heads. We know that. And that's why history just amazed that this man had went through pure hell from his people, excuse my expression. But when he came back victorious, he was bloodless. And that's unheard of. So here we are now. It's 13 years since the Imam's passing. And we do have different groups here and there. But what do we do? How do we go forward? And Ms. Khadija, why I make that point, you know, that you kind of, you're there, but I think you allow the part of you to step back so we can go forward, if I'm saying it correctly. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. And that recognizing that what we're asked to do is not to impact others, but to grow ourselves. And I looked at what happened after Imam Muhammad's passing, and Allah handed us a gift, something to unite us, an easy question, very easy question that could unite us. And it has nothing to do with seeing certain people suffer, absolutely, positively not. It was just a sound check. That was it, that did we all hear the same thing? And we realized we could all act together and be united if we just make this our center. But, yeah, it's like it's not about seeing, you know, something rain down on someone else's head. That's not it. But it's by seeing that this, like I said, that was my entrance into the community. And that wasn't a sad thing. It was hurtful, but I realized that I had to grow up to see people as the community would see them, as their mother would see them. And that you correct through love, and you engage through love, and you never give up. Even if they curse you and walk across the earth, you hold on and say, uh-uh, God made us united. You're not getting rid of me like that. So.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. But, you know, I mean, your phone keeps dropping. I'll keep bringing you back on. Anything you want to say?
No, I just want to say alhamdulillah. Everything has been said. I mean, this is a wonderful, wonderful program today. And a lot of things are coming out. And Sister Khadija, we love you. And we're going to support you all the way to the hereafter, inshallah. So you got that love. You got that love from us. And happy Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day.
And happy Mother's Day to the community and all.
Let me say, I forgot to say that. Yeah, happy Mother's Day to our mothers today, and to them tomorrow, and next week, and next year, all throughout the year. You think we'll do this one
forever, forever and ever?
For, I mean, okay. Let me present something here. Okay, now we all as Muslims believe in Salat, right? We pray and every day and five times a day. And if you ask the average Muslim, do you believe in Salat? They're going to say yes. I say, now, do you really, truly believe in Salat? They're going to say, yes, I'm Muslim. I believe in Salat. And so I say, well, if you really believe in Salat, the Muslim who you've been mad at for 5, 10, 15 years, they haven't missed prayer either. So if you really believe in Salat, then just when you make Salat, the one who you mad at has made Salat. and fasted Ramadan and et cetera, right? But you're still mad at them, and they're probably still mad at you. But if you really believe in Salat and the one who you're mad at made Salat, maybe, perchance, if you go talk to them, do you see where I'm going with this? Or if they came and talked to you, because otherwise, what are we praying for? From that perspective, not naming any persons, groups, entities, or nothing like that, can we say that our prayer, that we really believe in prayer, not just when I say it, not when Michael Sahir said it, but the one who I'm mad at, and I'd be the first to say, I got people now who are Muslims who I ain't spoke to in a while. I'm not coming off as no angel. I don't think I'm was trying to be an angel here today. So, and there's room for improvement for on all of our parts. But I think about it sometimes. That brother or sister who I may be mad at, they done prayed. So maybe I should go talk to them again. Can we get some comments on that, please?
Okay.
No, you go ahead.
No, I just want to make very clear that just if anybody, like, I'm not mad at anybody, but I support what Imam Sahir is saying, but I know sometimes people can connect some things. I'm not mad at anyone. And my motivation is actually from being responsible to make sure your brother and sister are doing what you would want to see yourself do. I love for myself certain things, beautiful things, righteous conduct, and I love that for them too.
Thank you. And let me clarify too, that was not pointed at no one person. So if everybody took it like that, then that's not what I meant. I'm just saying we have these principles and we have these practices, and they are universal. Brother Assad,
The comment I wanted to make in relationship to us having maybe some disputes with individuals and getting back together. And again, in the reality of this life, we're going to have disputes and within the topic of our unity in this community. So little disputes like that shouldn't get in the way of the big issue. In the reality of the world, if we just look at the United States and the Congress and those people in leadership, they don't always agree with each other. I remember Imam Ward bin Muhammad saying one time, he said, "Don't think I like all of y'all. I don't like all of y'all." He said, "But I work with you because you want to do this work." So personally, we may have some issues with people. But the bigger issue is what we have to look at and put aside those little things that prevent us from working together and getting the bigger job done.
Yes, sir. That's true. We have a call here I don't want to get to. But also, I'm going to let my brother, let me see the brother Kareem, anything to say. Brother Kareem, at the venture cover, it sounded like you were driving a car or something.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can hear you, but when you're not speaking, it's like you're driving a car or something, and we can hear background noise. You have a comment for me before I go to my next caller?
Sorry.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I would just say, you know, I pray a lot that we all just, you know, there's a lot of food for thought that's being shared. And, we're not going to always reach the ideal. And surely the patience and the forbearance and the patience that is obviously exemplified by my sister Khadija here, is honorable and is very much like the patience and the forbearance of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. As Imam Ayman mentioned, when he came back to Mecca, he could have, like you said, he could have took heads, but he had patience, he had forbearance, he had forgiveness, and he saw the bigger picture. We have to do the same, as the brother, as Brother Bashir said. We have to also remember, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah says, let there arise out of you a band of people invited into all the good. So all of us are not always going to be on the same train. But I think I hope that we all pointing towards the same trajectory. But all of us are not going to be on the same plane. Everybody's not going to be as willing to forgive and overlook. And yes, they may be going through the ritual. They may be going through the formation of the salat, if you will. But after the salat, when they taslim out to the right and to the left, they might not have that moral strength to be able to forgive, to overlook. But in the meantime, those of us who have that, let us continue to work, and let us continue to work not just with our words, with what we say, but in our actions of how we embrace our brother and sister. And in time, as Allah says in the Quran, Allah says, Allah will bring us together. So we have to just, you know, stay on our path and just support and love each other.
Yes, sir.
Thank
you. Let's go to our caller here. Thank you. Call from 323. Can you give us your first name and city, please? So 323-873. Okay. Maybe we'll come back to there.
That's Ayman. That's me. Somebody come.
You change numbers again?
Yeah, I had to.
That's
okay. That's me, man.
Okay, all right.
You don't recognize my number?
Which one? Okay.
Okay, I had to switch again because my wife took her phone.
Yes,
and because my phone was acting up, so I was on her phone so I could talk. And then now she's taking her phone and left the house, and now I'm back on my phone. So I'm sorry for the confusion.
I got you.
But I'm gonna try to straighten this out today, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay. Now we have different events. Now this may get a little bit more sensitive here, and I don't want to call a particular event or city or person, but I'm gonna speak to a reality that I'd like for us to touch on. If you get too sensitive, then we'll back away from it. But we have different events. We have different Savior's Days. We have different conventions. We have different Ramadan sessions. And some people go to some, but I ain't going to that one over there attitude. Or I don't like that person, what they doing attitude. So just putting it out for discussion. And I'm going to ask you all that you don't call no one's particular name or city because that can only cause confusion. But there have been Muslims who came to me and they said, why are there two conventions? Why are there two this? And why are we not going over there? Do we let that just play out? Will time heal that on its own? Or what? How do we address that? And please don't call no particular one's name or city. Imam Ayman, I think I'll begin with you.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Oh, man. Well, I have to refer back to the Holy Quran. Where God says, you know, to each is a goal to which Allah turns us. So strive hard as in a race. Fastabiqul khairati. Strive hard for what is good. And wherever you are, Allah will bring you together. And there's a concept also that I read in Dr. Sarkar's book years ago. Imam Dr. Sarkar, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him into paradise. He passed away a few years ago. He made a statement. He said, we have to have unity through diversity. Unity, there's unity through in diversity, you know. And I thought about it, and I thought about the creation and how we have so many diverse creations, you know, they're very diverse and different from each other, but they all really are still in unity because they're feeding on the one life that God gave them, and God is the creator of all. He's the creator of all of them. So I think in that respect, you know, and also people didn't differ until after knowledge came, you know, and peace until the rise of dawn, until, you know, until the dawning of the knowledge. And so when the knowledge comes sometime, people see things different and they approach it different. But as long as their objective is to, you know, please God and working toward Allah and working for the benefit of having a healthy community, then we should look at the good and take the best thereof. You know, look at the good and all these different expressions and take the best thereof from all of them, you know. And so because I think we waste time immersing ourselves in trying to figure out why this and why that, why we this and that. And it's a little confusion, a little confusing. But if we look at if they're Muslim, if they love God, they love the Prophet, and they say that they're on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, then we should accept the best that comes from them and be in unity with the good that they represent. Now, that's my understanding of that, because you can't keep up with all these differences. It's just too many differences. You can't keep up with all of it, you know. And so, you know, let them do what they do. And we're in a race now. See, we are competing for good. We're competing for good. We're competing for what is best. Okay? So it's just like you have a beautiful book called The Albalize of Muhammad, The Man Behind the Men. Brother Kareem has written two beautiful books, you know, Muhammad and Jesus, two rays from the same light, and From Arafat to America. I mean, these are different books, but they all are bringing out some light. They all are bringing out something good that the community can share in. So I think it's beautiful when we can see the good that's coming out and we can embrace that good and know that it's all working for the best to help us have a more of a healthy life, more of a healthy community overall. That's just my take on it. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, thank you. Before I was comment, we are going over our usual time. So if you have to go, I do understand. But this is a very important topic. And if those who are listening, if you want to press 1 on your phone, we'll bring you into the conversation. And also know this show is being recorded automatically by the producers of this program, and it would be valuable to listen to. Whenever we end within 10 minutes, the entire audio is available. But anybody else would like to comment on that proposal? I just asked. People have asked me locally, they said, why are there two conventions? Why are there two sages there? And they want to know what's going on with that. Anybody else have any comments you want to share on that?
Brother Mikhail, am I still on the line?
Yes, sir. I have two.
I am? Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
Comment I'd like to make in that issue. Imam Wadi Muhammad instructed us when we have a problem, you know, look at the problem. And again, I'm back to the reality. I'm keeping the focus on the reality, reality of life. We live in a real world. And I particularly have a theory on how this unity happened. But in reality, for this particular community and our particular organizational structure, because we are a unique entity with a unique unity. We have a unique purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that we have to go back and see what caused this disunity. And once we see the cause of it, when you have a disease or a problem, once you see that you know the problem, then you know how to fix the problem. The problem is with individuals and the way some individuals think. And if their thinking is not in line in what is needed to advance the mission that we have, then we have to address that to try to bring that unity about. So we have to look at the problem. in its reality.
Okay. Okay, so now that you outlined the procedure for Jesus, I guess this is me thinking, I feel like there's something missing from what you, but you did a good job on what you said on how to do it, but you didn't plug in anything into those places. Well, maybe we should. But,
and for the email, if I can comment on your question.
Please.
So the thought that's come into my mind is how just kind of like the sensitivity we have for our face and the skin on our face and, you know, the fact that there's, you know, some imperfection on your face, you know, that you don't want to see, it's not in unity as you think it should be. That's not a big deal. The fact that it doesn't look that great according to what you thought. So the fact that there may be this convention, that convention, that's not a problem. But now if that's a symptom of something deeper, then it's better to just take that as a sign and explore, is there something going on deeper in my body that I do need to address, but not try to get cover-up cream or, you know, not like how you look or, yeah, so the fact that people are doing different things is not an issue. But we do have to ask when we see things manifest just to check to see, does this really have a cause that I need to address the cause? I'm not interested in addressing, no, you can't have a convention. Like, you can have as many as you want. But if it is a symbol of something deeper that could disturb the body, then we address the cause and leave the manifestation to its own self and just focus our attention on the cause.
Yes, beautiful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this is just a microsite here of brain thinking. And as the brother I saw, what she said was correct. It was very beautiful. But there's nothing was put in there. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't, because I did say we're not calling no names or anything, so, and no cities. So maybe I put a limit on it. So, but like we can find ways to apply these beautiful concepts, because I believe the concepts to be correct. But where and how do we begin the application to make these things take effect? You know, to put the meat on the bone. The bone is a beautiful structure. You know, make it walk, make it talk, make something happen. I was thinking of lost guidance. It's automatic to make something happen. So maybe they come out on someone else's program. Maybe next week. Who knows?
Yeah.
And, call them.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, Billy, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna sign off if that's permitted. I mean, of course it's permitted, but I just want to let you know that's what I'm going
you
to
can't
do.
Leave, sister. Well, you can't leave. You can't leave.
Wait a minute, Brother Ivan. She told me that she's gonna be here for a little while. I'm like, but this is a nice little while. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well,
we appreciate
I have
you
to
long.
Reschedule. I have to reschedule. My day, so it's fine. Inshallah, there'll be another day.
Yes,
but
inshallah.
I just want to say that to anyone who's ready to do this or see things this way, that, you know, we always think the world is not turning right because somebody didn't do something. But the world turned beautifully when the prophet began to manifest or had manifested for us his beautiful character. So when we get to the point that we restore ourselves to the human community as we're supposed to be, many things that become, that were problems before are not anymore, because really what's a problem is what disturbs your soul, not how something looks. So if you're bothered by something, so that means it's something that we each haven't done. And what we see other people doing is just a manifestation of what we did not do ourselves. So, like, I'm at peace I've been at peace since the struggles I've seen we have as a community. Why? Because I've seen that this, what Allah wants me to do. And it just pains me when I see that we all haven't found that, and that we want a superficial community, a superficial, something superficial, or something that someone else can do. But when we begin to see, like I said in the beginning, we begin to see people through how their mother would see them, you know? That's difficult because she saw them on the first day. She saw them in the picture that God brought them into the world. And if we can have the courage to look at them that way, then we look with community eyes, community consciousness, and we're there to support people. And just like a mother, the child isn't listening, say, well, I'll give you something short and simple, and maybe when you get older, you'll remember. But I'm at peace. I'm at peace. I know that God's will be established. So I just want to leave that with us, that every time we try to solve something, we can't assume that God doesn't know how to enact his plan. Trust me, when he says bow down, we all going to bow down. So if there's any freedom of will, it's because God has permitted it. And there's nothing we can do about it. That's not our job. Our job is to respond when we're called and to see all the changes we want to see. If it's not changing and we're not as strong in the prophet's character as we thought we were, because he was able to bring a whole community to him and to his model, even 1,000 years after he's not here, and we standing right next to somebody and can't get them to follow our example, then there's something about our example. So I just want to leave that with us as we try to change. Just make sure we're not trying to change the superficial look of other people around us, but that we're actually changing ourselves. So thank you. And assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you, sister. Thank you.
Okay. If I may, Brother Imam,
okay.
If we can look.
Okay, can do us a bit. Let me say real fast, a caller from 773.
Okay.
So hold on, we're going to get to you here very shortly. Go ahead, Brother Bashir.
If we look at the life example of Prophet Muhammad, and his establishment of the community, there was a strong effort, you know, to bring unity. That unity was very important. He had enemies.
Mm-hmm.
He had hypocrites. He had people of, you know, not strong faith. All of those issues were, or situations existed. But through strong,
yes,
his strong leadership, he was able to, with all of those situations existing, to bring in that model community. And I think we have to keep this in focus, too, in
That's
what
right.
we're trying to do. Yeah.
No doubt. Yes.
Yeah.
He kept his mind kept his mind focused on Allah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Caller from 773. Caller from 773. Thank you, caller. What's my people? Can you give us your name and your city, please? First name, city, please.
Assalamu alaikum. Shakira from Chicago. Ramadan Mubarak. Yes, sir. I was listening patiently and thanking Allah for blessing you all to come with the subjects. I listened last week, but I didn't say anything. But I want to, address the issue that has come up, but the issue that was at hand before was Surah Us by the Token of Time, and I thought it was beautiful because my student and I, we had just discussed this Surah. And by him being as young as he is, how do you feel lost? What is the fear? How? And I want him to feel and describe being lost and being afraid. And it says what? You have five things you have to do. And one of them is truth. And I'm praying real hard because we live in a different kind of situation. But we have to trust in Allah. And I'm going to say Bismillah. And I'm saying it with his name because, just like Imam Mikhail say, these are touchy situations. But I think all times when there is a problem, you have to find a way to solve it. Because we talked about unity, but in some things we seem we don't have to be unified. We, in everything, and Allah says in the Quran that we should not be divided among ourselves. And as you divide down, you get weaker and weaker. So we have to understand that, and Allah says that for a reason, so you can be strong. It also says in the Quran about if there is a problem with your contending brothers, how you solve that problem. You just don't let it go and say, oh, it's all right, it's okay for them to do that. When there's a problem, and us being divided is a problem. And just like Brother Bashir is saying, we deal, and a lot of us, you know, we try to say things that won't hurt other people or try to be more as diplomatic as we possibly can. And that's what I'm praying I do now, is to do that. And we have to listen what Allah says to us in the Quran at all times. We don't take part of the Holy Quran. We take the entire guidance that Allah has given us in the Quran. That's not all Allah's words. That's his guidance that he has given us. So us being divided is a problem. We have to solve these problems, because after the Prophet, peace be upon him, reading the story where 40,000 Muslims killed each other. So we have to, I think that's the one solution. We have to study the Quran. A lot of us study Arabic, but we have to study the Quran so we can understand it in our language, because a lot of times when we do in Arabic, we have to transfer back that meaning in English, so we, because that's the language, those are the words, I'll put it like that, that made us. So we have to understand what Allah is saying. We study the Quran all the time. We study. We have to study and understand what Allah is saying, and don't choose what we want to choose to make that what we want. We can't do that. We have to take the whole of what Allah is telling us. That's his guide. And I think that's with the situation, with the convention, those are problems. And I think how we do, we sit down and talk, because I know and love people on each division. And it's not right. And brother, and I want to say this quickly, and then I will stop. Where the brother was saying about the sister that left the community because of love, and it's true. I don't think, and we have to remember, we are unique people. We was embedded with a slavery, an institution that separated us. So we have to look at those things. All of us don't have to do it. We have to have different entities doing everything that we need on hand to solve all of our problems. Not everybody trying to do this at one time, that we have to stipulate and follow the direction of our head, so the arm can be doing what it needs to be doing, the feet can be doing what it needs to be doing. Each entity should, and we have that, an example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, with setting up a community government that different areas take care of different things. Thank you all so much. May Allah continue to bless us, and thank you. You all for having this program, and we will get to our destiny if we work and do what Allah said do. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Amen. Ramadan Mubarak. Thank you.
Before we get a comment on that, I'm going to read this verse from the Quran. Let me just look. Okay. Yeah, I'm not even going to hold. Okay, this is chapter 103. No, I'm sorry, this is chapter 103. Now I know why I got confused before. But the first one was chapter 103, verse 3. And the other one was, this is the other way around, it's surah 3, ayah 103. Now I see why I got confused. They both have the same numbers, just reversed. But here, this is chapter 3, ayah 103. Allah says, I'm reading in English. And hold fast all together by the rope which Allah stretches out for you, and be not divided among yourselves. And remember with gratitude Allah's favor on you, for you were enemies, and he joined your hearts in love. Joined your hearts in love. It says here, Kalubikun. He made, it says, Baina Kalubikun. He brought your hearts together, right? In love. So that by his grace, and that's important too, is that what my eye doing? By his grace, you became brothers, Ikhwana, right? Brothers. And you were on the brink of the pit of fire, and he saved you from it. Thus does Allah make his signs clear to you, that you may be guided. You can get some guidance. Again, chapter 3, verse 103. And what our sister Shakira was sharing with us, that there's opportunities for us to, I'm paraphrasing, but there's opportunities for us to get involved to see what can we do. And I like how she said, she didn't say read the Quran. She said study the Quran and find solutions to some of these situations. So I'd like for anybody to have a comment. I'm going to bring Brother Shabazz back on. He has an air sound in the background. But anybody have any comments on this? Imam Askia from East St. Louis. Anybody have any comments on what I'm supposed to get shared with?
Yes, sir, buddy, ma'am. I just like to say, I mean, after what
who's speaking?
You shared and the sister shared. I said, I mean, alhamdulillah. And, I think that addresses it all, buddy, ma'am.
Thank you, buddy,
the individual,
ma'am.
The model, having the model and representing that model and what you read from the Quran and what our sister expressed, I just said, I mean.
Amen.
I mean,
anybody else have any comments?
Well, I would like to make a comment. Quite often, we'll think about individuals,
right,
in that relationship. But I think the topic that we're on today, too, we're talking about the community. And,
right. Thank you.
How does this relate to that larger community issue? And how can we use this guidance to solve that problem? And that it has to deal with community as a lot of individuals. But these individuals have come together to form a community or a mindset. And so we have to speak to that particular mindset in order to have that, which you just read to us, help to resolve a problem of disunity that we may have.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. The model is good. Anybody else have any comments? If not, we go to our next caller.
Yeah, go to the next caller. I had a comment, but I'll hold it.
No, well, if it's in line with where we're at now, it'd be good to get it so it'd be consistent.
No, I was going to say, Allah bless us to come into a lot of knowledge. You know, Imam Muhammad came into office. Okay, you know, we evolved and got more of a knowledge of the religion. But a lot of time we got the knowledge, but the love, you know, was not sometimes what didn't come along with it. You know, when we were really concerned about people, you know, and showing love for people, and you know,
That's what I wanted to say. And it goes back to the comment I made earlier about the sister who left the community. We had knowledge, but she left the community because she didn't see no love, you know, no compassion, no sensitivity. And that's important, you know. That's very important. Right. That's all I want to say. Got the knowledge.
Yeah, thank you.
You become hard. You become hard with the knowledge, you know.
Right. Yeah. Wow. And that's just dry rituals. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to, I think this is a 202. Is, I know that's East Coast. Either it's D.C. or it's New York. Call for 202. Maybe it's New Jersey. I don't know. Call for 202. Thank you for calling Workmate People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Mohammed Jihad Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum wa salam.
Salute you two great enlightened imams. Appreciate you. Yeah, my comment is, you know, sometimes a person has to, they have to establish justice in order to bring about reconciliation. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't get around it. You have to establish justice in order to bring about reconciliation. And when you have someone that have developed a reputation for not establishing justice, then the trust is broken. The trust is broken, and not to speak of transparency also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a mouthful.
Yes, it is. The brother before, he had also called about making the importance of justice. And I think one thing just came out is that, how to say it, seeing these, we have these very great principles, beautiful principles, and I think we can agree that we have mentioned in so many ways, and not so much as seeing it from where I stand or feel as a person, because that's going to happen naturally. But can I expand that, be it justice, be it love, be it unity? Can I see that from the other person's perspective for their want and need for those things? And also with taking from the individual to a group.
Can I
do that? Can I do that? Is there justice? Is there room for justice? Brother Bashir, I think that may be another way of saying what you were saying, a mature love. Justice may be another way of saying that phrase too. Because once justice is established, then you will really get the love. And thank you, Brother Jihad, Muhammad Ali, we call you Jihad.
Yes, sir.
That can bring reconciliation and transparency and also trust.
Yes, and I saluted the brother, Muhammad, I believe his name was, and also yourself.
Yes.
When you mentioned the Prophet's example, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went back to Mecca and forgave everybody, that was powerful.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, I recall an ayah too where Allah speaks of coming together, the believers coming together to take a stand against those that's not being just until they come around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't recall the surah. I bet Imam Imam knows that
mm-hmm.
ayah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and once again, these are principles and values we have, but we need to study what is the wisest way for us time-wise. In other words, to make it move too soon or too late, time-wise, but also how far do we push and go? Because sometimes you can get more down by stepping back from the situation and let it play itself out too. So
yes,
I think
sir.
We have covered a lot. We put a lot on our minds. I think our listeners have been very patient. Someone told me when I put in for my block of time, normally I put in 2 hours. Someone told me to put in for 3 hours because it's going to go over. And we are 40 minutes over. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
But if anybody want to make a closing comment, you can feel free to.
I like me a quick one. It's Brother Kareem Shabazz again. Can you hear me, everybody?
Yes, sir.
I would just invite and encourage anybody online. If you haven't already, please be invited. Go to Amazon.com, get a copy of two of my most recent books, the last of which is called From Arafat to America, talking about the critical insights from the last sermon of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the book before that, Jesus and Muhammad, Two Rays of the Same Light. I invite everyone, go to Amazon, get that book. Both of those books, particularly even the first one, Jesus and Muhammad, Two Rays of the Same Light. As an author, I tried to clean up that subject. There's other authors on Amazon with books that talk about comparing the teachings of Jesus and Muhammad, but they do a travesty. They slander Islam, they slander the Quran, and they slander our prophet. I tried to come behind that with the mop and the bucket to clean up that. So I asked my brothers and sisters to endorse me, to support me, get behind that, and put that out there, and may Allah continue to support us in our good works. Amen.
Well, you had a good mop. You had a good mop and bucket, my brother, because you come and cleaned it up.
That's
right. And inshallah, we're gonna be ordering some more books from you too, real soon. Inshallah.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Man.
This is Muhammad.
Anybody else?
Let me
say real quick. Because I'm wrapping it up, so make out these comments kind of succinct, please.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Yeah, one thing I'd like to bring back to the surface, and it was something I had intended to speak on initially, but the Imam Sahir already brought it out, and that's how Imam Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi, pointed to the spirit of the folklore. And we just need to take on that same spirit.
Yes, sir.
That's within our grasp.
Yes,
sir. Imam Sahir.
So,
I'd like to close out in the area of unity. If we look at Imam Wardi Muhammad, when he took leadership, he had a concern. He mentioned that him and Malcolm had a concern that after his father passed, there was going to be a need for the kind of leadership that he could provide. And although he, like the Prophet Yusuf, Joseph, his family was against him, there were other people that were against him. He strategically came in, and he had enemies too during that period of time. But the reality of he was very strategic in what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kept the unity. He knew that was a need to keep the unity.
So
we have to look at the example that he gave us in his leadership. His father passed. There could have been a lot of chaos. He kept the things together. When Imam Wardi Muhammad passed, then we have to look and say, did we do the strategic things, leadership, not one person, but leadership? Did we do the things that we needed to do to keep this community intact?
Yes, sir.
And boom, where it should
yes,
be.
Yes, sir. Very good observation. We appreciate that.
Very wonderful.
What came to my mind is we have to make sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices are you and I are willing to make for the bigger picture? Like, you remember, I've been making sacrifices. We came back to quote-unquote save the baby. You know, so what are we willing to do? I got two more. I want to get Imam Askia. If you don't have any closing comments, email Ayman, and that would be our show for today. Imam Askia, are you still with us? Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, yes, sir. Do you have any comments you want to say before we go?
Yes, sir. I see that the perspectives that are being brought are one perspective, but they're diverse because we're seeing it from positions and environments that we're each in. We might say it's one and the same, but the questions are a little different. And I'd just like to say it's just like a athletic competition with your skill set. People during the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, they recognized skill sets in each other. And part of that reality was they would call each other to their skill set. And I think that's part of the strategy our imam is talking about. I'll leave it at that, buddy, man.
Wow. Well, thank you. Very well said. We have to recognize those. Is you better at something than I am? Why should I be trying to do it? Or at least I should consult you to help me do that. And we have to. And that requires, again, sometimes not letting our ego get in the way. Amen, Ivan? We can use the last word.
Well, alhamdulillah, I think it goes back to what I was trying to say earlier about take the best thereof, you know, take the best. Whatever we see happening in the community of good, then we should embrace it and we should support it. I mean, that's the key, you know. Like the brother said earlier, when Imam Muhammad took over leadership, you know, we had hypocrites with us, the same as when Prophet Muhammad came into Medina. There were hypocrites there. There were supporters there, you know, enemies. Mm-hmm. And so you're always going to have that. But the Prophet, the first thing he did when he came to Medina, he established a political pact that united all the citizens of Medina. And he made everybody agree with that pact. Not made them, but they had to agree with that pact. That if anybody would go against that and come against Medina, that everybody would fight. Everybody would fight. Everybody would be in unity to come against the enemy that was trying to tear down Medina. Now, we know we had some hypocrites in there that was tearing stuff down from the inside, And we have the same thing happening today. You know, some of the communities that we've inherited, they have just given up, and they went over to other schools of thought. And they have just left the community of Imam Muhammad altogether, you know, even with their properties. So these are just things that we're dealing with. And see, everybody everybody ain't going to hold on to what we got here. You know, some people are going to fall by the wayside, you know. And we can't make them stay with what we got, you know. Everyone has freedom of thinking. You know, and Imam Muhammad wanted to keep it where we had autonomy, where we could just be free, you know. So I think in this freedom, it really shows us where we are, and it shows us where other people are. So whatever you see, thank Allah, because Allah is showing it to you. And let's just keep striving for the good, keep striving for the best, so we can have the best situation for us in this community. Praise be to Allah. I hope I made sense out of that. I hope I did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, and so, and I just say, as we close out, thank you all for your wonderful contributions, thoughtful, sincere contributions to the conversation. Not that we would have an answer today, unless you accept the answer, then that we began a much needed conversation. May Allah bless us. To grow, give us the best of Ramadan, the best of this life, and the biggest share of the life to come. And let us make the necessary sacrifices that we need to do. I guess it's like the saying of President John Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what can you do for your country. So we're going to use that phrase and say, ask not what can this community do for you, for unity, what can you do for the community? With that said, we say assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and we'll close out with our theme song, What If My People. See you next week, inshallah. Isa'i Mubarak. because he is probably going to be thirsty, I believe. I'm pretty sure he's going to be thirsty. So with that said, assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
People, everybody trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step on your advice, make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people, and people, they make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, work and buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your mind.
Thank you, WD, for setting me free.